The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, November 29th, and the football continues unabated. We got bowl game. Championship weekend for the college stuff is coming up. The regular season has concluded. We're still just in week 12. The NFL season never ends. Washington and Seattle play a football game this evening on ESPN. Seahawks are headed to the East Coast to try and break a bit of a skid here where they have struggled mightily. Russell Wilson coming back from his hand injury has not been very good. Joining me to break it all down, the one, the only, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Will? How you doing?
I am going along.
You're getting there.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm going to try and get some sleep at some point this week. You can watch us. You can see my tired, sorry face on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. Of course, subscribe and hit the like button if you're watching. Tell us what your best bet for this game is. We'll be recapping this game after it happens. We recap all primetime games Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night, 1 p.m. on Thursdays. Now that the holiday, now that Thanksgiving's over, is our pick show. And 1 p.m. on Tuesday is our mock draft show. Plus, today is the final day to get 25% off all products in the Pick Six store. Use a QR code in the top right corner. It's over my left shoulder. Also, go to store.cbsports.com if you want to get a very soft hoodie. Sully, we have to get you a hoodie on the house for all your...
Ooh, I like that. All right.
That's like the comp.
I do have the Pick Six beer mug, so that is...
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
So, wait, did you get sent that or did you buy it?
No, I bought it. Okay. I'm a company man. Come on now.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm not saying everyone should get free stuff, but like you should for your, like, you've got enough service time in where you should get a free Pick Six hoodie. It's very soft and comfortable. I love mine.
All right. I'll have to get it after the powers of B.
Yeah, I believe you. I'll get after him as well. Producer Chris probably due for one as well for all his work this season. Seahawks. Washington is a pick 'em. You're over under 47. What do you think about this game, Sully?
Yeah, it's weird. And you know what? I thought RJ White, he's on with you all the time. He used to be one of our editors. Now he's over at Sportsline. He made a great point in this, in that, you know, it's weird that the odds makers feel like they are they're anticipating Russell Wilson not struggling at some point, breaking out. You noted that he has not been playing well since he's come back from this hand injury. And RJ pointed out on Sportsline that the odds makers did make this game early on -2.5 for Seattle. And it's moved all the way to a pick 'em because of those struggles. But even the odds makers are kind of pointing to this fact that, all right, Russell Wilson's going to get this at some point. Could it be this week? Possibly. Could it be next week? Possibly. We don't know when it's going to happen, but people are anticipating that Russell Wilson's going to break out. I'm more of a, and RJ was, I think, leaning more towards Seattle. I'm more of a, I'll wait until I see it type of thing in terms of, you know, I'll wait until it happens before I try to predict what Russell Wilson will break out, especially against the Washington team. So for me, I'm leaning Washington, but it's a slight lean just because there is that little tension there of, okay, Wilson is due to break out and look more like the Russ that we're used to.
For Christmas, I'm asking for a new office chair for, I can't figure out what's wrong with my back. I'm like, oh wait, I spend like 92 hours a week in this stupid chair. When you hurt, you adjust, right? Yeah. Like my back hurts and I'm adjusting what I do like in life. Russell Wilson is still adjusting to his hand injury. He hasn't figured it out yet. I can't get there on Seattle until I see it happen.
Yeah, and
exactly what you said. And I don't see why. I mean, I know Brady Quinn suffered this injury a long time ago and he didn't basically put on IR and didn't try to play because he had surgery. You know, he had the surgery, didn't get the pins out. The season was over.
I feel like the season was ending for him, if I remember correctly.
He had 6 weeks left when he had the surgery. And so it was basically, you know, it wasn't, He wasn't going to try and come back. And the Browns weren't very good. I don't believe that either. You know, Seattle's not very good either. And Washington is actually playing pretty good in the last few weeks. If you look at their four games, two before the bye, two after the bye, they're at Green Bay and at Denver. You give up 24 points to Green Bay, give up 17 to Denver, 19 to Tampa Bay at home in a win, and 21 to Carolina in Charlotte in Cam's big, you know, emotional return, and Ron Rivera, another win. The offense is starting to score points, and Seattle's defense is horrendous. I mean, I think Washington is one of my favorite bets of the week. I don't know. I think Washington just wins this game. Now, of course, it changes dramatically if Russ's hand is fine. If one more week is allowed Russ to figure out what he wants to do with his hand, how he wants to adjust, how it's going to impact his ability to throw the football, his accuracy, etc. You know, that's a whole different ball game. But the last 2 weeks, I mean, Russell Wilson has been horrendous. 14 of 26 for 207, no picks, but sacked four times. Didn't run the ball at all either. I think he's probably scared he's going to hurt his hand more if he keeps running. And then against the Packers in that first return, 20 of 40 for 161 and two picks. Maybe that's incremental improvement from week to week. And maybe he finally gets right and comes out and plays really well on Monday Night Football. I just can't buy into it until it actually happens. So yeah. I like Washington a lot here. I would probably lean towards the under, but it's the same sort of deal, right? Like
Exact thing, right? I mean, if you are thinking that Seattle's going to come back and Russell Wilson's going to be Russell Wilson, well, then you probably want to take the over because this thing's going to turn into a shootout with Taylor Heineke on the other side. Like, that's – you kind of have – those things are very much connected. And I'm right there with you. Like I just think it's a great point that what RJ pointed out where it's like it did open at Seattle minus 2.5. The odds makers are pointing to this could happen at some point, but – I just have a hard time of really figuring that out or when it's actually going to be. I want to see it from Russell Wilson before I can start, you know, just throwing darts and saying, yeah, it might be this week against Washington, especially because Heineke's been very good. I mean, you're talking about the last 4 weeks post bye, he's completing 77.8% of his passes. I mean, he's been playing really well as of late.
And look, I mean, 4-6 is not where you want to be as a football team. Nobody tell you they want to be 4-6, but you get a 5-6 and you are same record as Minnesota, and right there in the playoff race. And I understand Seattle's 3-7. They get a 4-7. They're sort of, you know, similar situation to a degree. I think that the spread is so low that the way I would bet this is I would wait until probably about 8 o'clock, and I would look and see. I'm watching. You know, you need to be watching the Monday night. Like, if you really, you know, you can do whatever you want. You can bet on whatever you want. But like, if you want to try and maximize your value here in terms of the point spread, it's not going to shoot up to 3 on either side. Yeah. You know, so watch Monday. Watch countdown. Hear what Schefter's going to have something. It's in Washington. He knows a ton of people there. You know, they're not far from it. They're going to be. You know, they're gonna see Russell Wilson on the field. They're gonna see him warming up. They're gonna hear things from the Washington training staff. You know, listen to like figure out what's going on with that before we make our decision about which way we want to go. And you know, if you see this thing drop precipitously in terms of the total over the course of the day, then maybe that's a hint that Russ is not good, or you know, et cetera. If Russ was good, I would pass on the bet, and I would just take the over, I think, in this spot.
Yeah, and the other thing you got to look out for here, too, is it looks like Washington might be getting back some key pieces this week. Curtis Samuels is and Logan Thomas are both expected to play, so keep an eye on that, too, because that obviously will, I would assume, affect the lines even a little bit.
Just looking at the final injury report has Curtis Samuels. This is questionable. Adam Humphries is questionable as well. Ricky Seals-Jones, doubtful. Didn't they get – is Logan Thomas back?
Logan Thomas is not on that because he's on IR. He needs to be activated.
Can he be activated for this game?
Yeah, so they say the expectation is that he's going to be in this game. So keep an eye out for that.
That's a big piece. And J.D. McKissic, full practice, so he won't miss any time. DK Metcalf, limited. So he'll be questionable at least, or you know, I would guess he'll be active, but I mean that would be a big deal.
Yeah.
If DK for some reason was not
But if you're talking about the total too, I mean, you know, you look at Seattle again, like we were saying, it correlates to how you feel about Russ. They've had 13 points over the last 2 weeks. It's just, if you're expecting more of the same, then I have no idea how you can expect Washington to carry you 95, 80% of the way there.
I was arguing with my buddy Nick Costas about this. And he was like, he's like, Seattle's my favorite bet of the week. I was like, I don't understand how it can be. If you don't, like, you don't know when Russ's hand is going to heal, and no one does. Like, if it's better, then yes, Seattle's probably a good bet. But if it's not, Seattle could get truck sticked here. I mean, like, they're not a good football team, and Russ is not healthy. All right.
Quick trend here just for you for Seattle too. Not even from a Russell Wilson hand standpoint, because obviously he's been out, you know, he's been out for a little bit, but just in general, this team is 5-0, the under is. In their last five road games in Washington, 4-1, the unders hit in their last five games overall. So, you know, it does trend that way.
All right. There you go. Let's take a break. When we come back, player props. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right. So I have four props, and you have four props.
Wow. Very exciting.
Very exciting. I'm trying to see if any of them match up. I went all overs too. We were just over guys.
Well, that's just like what we like to do.
We just I like overs. It's just easier to pick overs. So my first one, we both have a Taylor Heinicke prop. Ooh, you have a Logan Thomas prop. I like that. Taylor Heinicke, I have over rush yards 18 and a half. I picture, and we'll get into this a little bit more when we talk about the first touchdown score, but I just picture Taylor Heinicke. Like, all I can do is when I think about Taylor Heinicke, all I can picture is that rush against Carolina where, you know, he's just like, and he's like wildly gesticulating and he's, you know, he's picking up yards. He's a fast player. He's at home. There should be a decent crowd, I guess. 18 and a half feels very short to me. Make sure it didn't go up over. Let's see. I think this should be closer to like 25, honestly. It's just short. I don't know what to tell you. It's just short. He's going to rush for more than 20 yards, and I don't understand why this is so low. So I love Heinicke over rush yards. I could see this moving up throughout the day. I would bet this nail if you've got it. And you like Heinicke pass yards?
Yeah, I do. For Heinicke, he's gone over this number a decent amount here. Let me just pull it up. He's gone over it 6 of his 9 starts this season. Seattle's allowing 279.6 passing yards this season. I believe they're 25th in the NFL against the pass in DVOA. It's just a great spot for him. But quickly going, you know, that one obviously correlates because it's Taylor Heinicke, but the rushing yards one for you, I think correlates the same with my JD McKissic over for his receiving yards, because I feel like that's particularly low for him too. And I think both of those are low because of Antonio Gibson starting to look a little bit more healthy, starting to, you know, post by that shin injury seems to be a thing of the past. I think he ran for 90 something yards last week. So I think that that's probably what's bringing both of those numbers down. I like both of them. I still think that Heineke's going to be able to run around through, you know, scrambles and all that kind of stuff. And I think McKissick, he had a very small impact in the passing game last week, 4 yards receiving. But that, I just don't think that, that's more uncommon than him not going over this total here. He's gone over it in 4 straight prior to that game last week. I think both those guys are going to be involved in the rushing and the receiving game in their respective units there. And I think Antonio Gibson's the one that's kind of bringing that number down.
I don't really understand that. Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I guess if the Washington blows out Seattle, then maybe Heineke isn't running. He's averaging 4.5 carries per game, 27.6 rush yards per game. I mean, over the full course of the season, that's obviously substantially higher. He's gone over 18 and a half 5 times. He had one game with 95 rushing yards. I mean, this guy runs. I think, you know, and granted that was a loss, but you know, you look at Carolina, 6 carries, 29 yards and a win. It does
I think everybody remembers Heineke, you know, rushing, running around, diving in that divisional or that wild card playoff game.
He's a mobile, he's a mobile scrambler who's not a great quarterback and doesn't have a perfect defensive offensive line, and so he's not afraid to take off and run. I like Gerald Everett over receiving yards. You see a guy a little bit closer to scrimmage, closer to the line of scrimmage, catching more passes. Maybe the game plan will be to make life easier on Russ, get him some quicker looks, some closer looks, so he's not trying to, you know, sling the ball down the field. I think Everett at 26 and a half, we're not asking a ton here.
No, not at all. And I'll stick with the tight ends too. Logan Thomas for me, if he plays, obviously pay attention to that. Make sure he's activated off of IR before you make any sort of bet here. But the fact that he's even on these props would trend to a more positive direction for him. Over 30 and a half receiving yards. The 2 times he's gone over it this season in the full games that he's played, Taylor Heineke's been his quarterback. The only time, other time he didn't do it was back in week 1. Where he wasn't the starting quarterback, it was Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, you know, that to me, I just think he's a guy that's clearly a weapon on this, in this offense. And Seattle hasn't been playing well against tight ends this year. I mean, just look at last week, Zach Ertz, 88 yards. I think it was 2 touchdowns or maybe 1 touchdown. You know, that unit is susceptible to tight ends. And if Logan Thomas is back healthy, again, it's very similar to Everett. You're not asking a lot for him to go over 30 yards receiving.
And I should probably point out that now at Caesars, that Gerald Everett total is 30 and a half. So Chris, we may want to adjust that, and it's juiced over -135. Golly.
Wow, that spiked.
I think I grabbed that one last night after the podcast, but I don't mind it at 30 and a half. It's still obviously very expensive at -135. The last 2 weeks, he's averaging 50 receiving yards per game, 5.5 catches. It's just because, I mean, Russ is, you know, just think about how Russ is operating. He's not throwing the ball. The ball's not coming out of his hand the same way. So he's keeping it closer to the line of scrimmage, throwing it shorter. 9.1 yards per reception. So Everett's sort of posting up as a nice safety valve. Now, Washington secondary, not great. So, you know, we'll see how easy it is for him to operate there. I also have DK Metcalf over receiving yards, 63. It's up to 65 and a half now. Over receiving yards and Tyler Lockett over receptions. I'll see if that's moved up. I wouldn't take that at 5, but I like it at 4.5. I think four and a half -150. Gosh, sheesh.
And the only other one for me is, I like Russell Wilson under his passing yard total there, just because I don't know. It's very similar. It's the exact same argument. I don't know what Russell Wilson's going to look like. What I've seen so far is that he's not healthy and not really been able to throw the ball effectively. And if that continues, he's going well under this. He hasn't done that in the past 2 weeks since he's been back. And even if you want to go back even further, he didn't hit that. The only times he's hit the over on this prop, or at least the one that I put in, was weeks 1 through 3 when he was fully healthy. Even after that, he started to fall off.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, like all these are – you know, I'm taking these over on these Seattle pass catchers. The idea being that Seattle can't score. Washington does score. Seattle's forced to throw anyway. And it's not like Russ is, because the thing is, he's not hurt.
Right.
He's recovering from a surgery. Like he's in theory healthy, so he can throw all he wants. But it's just not, he's not accurate right now.
It's like what Brady Quinn said. It was more of a feel more than anything, right? It was more just getting that timing, and it kind of feels a little bit different coming off the hand.
Exactly. Yeah. So given that, I think it makes a Yeah, I mean, I like the under on the passing yards. And you know, with that DK and the Lockett over, like I guess, and Everett over, I guess you could think that it doesn't match up with Russ under passing yards. But all, like Lockett can get to five catches with 65 yards, you know, or 45 yards. You know, DK can get over 63 and a half without Russ going over 250. I mean, that can easily happen. So, you know, a team that's going to have to throw a bunch because they're just not good right now. And if the other thing, if Russ is getting better, you know, I feel fine with my props, but I agree on the under of his total passing yards. I sort of think it should probably be closer to like 240, 235 maybe. He shouldn't be higher than Heinicke unless the Washington's just going to run the ball down their throats. All right, first touchdown scorers. It's not a pretty slate. I said the QBs and the tight ends, and I think you agree.
Yep.
Russell Wilson, 23-1. I sort of wonder if they're, I mean, I don't know, would they be, should they be doing more designed run stuff? Do they know what they're doing? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, should they, he's got, let's see, what does he have? 7 carries for 34 yards in his 2 games since returning from surgery. He hasn't run a ton. He ran more against Green Bay. I could just kind of see him pulling the ball and trying to sneak around the corner if they get close to the end zone and Washington stacking the box, because they don't want to risk him throwing it into a tight window and it being picked off or popped up in the end zone or something like that. I like 23-1. And Heinicke, as we mentioned, clearly a runner. 21-1 is a perfectly fine price.
Right. I almost wonder if they get into that area, very similar to what you're saying with Russ, is does he trust his legs a little bit more than his arm at the moment? You know, does he try to say, all right.
Or does he not trust his hands and he, you know, wants to use his legs?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, that's, I think both those guys have great value. I don't mind JD McKissic, you know, 12-1. You're getting into that red area. He's somebody that is obviously going to be a factor in the passing game. So, you know, he's someone that I think if you want to get a little bit of value there, maybe he's somebody to pay attention to. The only one, other one I'll bring up, and it's a Hail Mary prop. I figured I'd put it in to the touchdown one, is Antonio Gibson, 2 or more touchdowns this week. That's plus 575. That one I think is a little bit interesting. He's done that twice already this year. And Seattle, you know, they've actually been giving up multiple touchdowns to backs throughout the season. I think the most recent one was AJ Dillon. Even though he didn't have an efficient night against them, he had 2 touchdowns against them a few weeks ago. So to me, Antonio Gibson getting a little bit healthier, I don't know. That one I want to sprinkle nothing crazy on, but just to maybe just highlight it here a little bit too.
I like it. Gibson, I mean, look, Gibson, this could be a Gibson game.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about Gibson when we talk DFS, which we're going to do on the YouTube channel. It's exclusive. So if you're listening to the podcast, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys later. If you are watching on YouTube and you want to see the DFS, stick around and we will do that right now. It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.